Sometimes when we gather into God's word, we have a tendency to be mixing up the message. And it sort of is what happens with Peter as he hears Jesus say the words that Jesus tells him this day. Because he's just claimed, Jesus, you're the Messiah. But you see, the message got mixed up in his head. Because for Peter, he had an earthly understanding of what Messiah is, was, and was to be. The Messiah was to be the one who rescued the Jewish people, who brought them back into all their glory, that the temple would be the center of everybody's faith, and that Israel and Judah and all the nations would be united under this God and this Messiah, this Lion King. But when Jesus turns around and begins to teach that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected, not honored, but rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, that he must be killed and will rise again, for Peter, it's like, Jesus, you got your message a little mixed up. You remember, you're the Messiah. This is who you are supposed to be. And Jesus turns around and rebukes him because he doesn't see God's vision. He's seeing human vision. And we have a tendency to do that, don't we? We tend to mix up the message of Jesus Christ for what we want that message to be. Sometimes for us, Jesus is the one who saved us from our own sin. And he is. Sometimes Jesus is the one who challenges us to go out into the world. And he is. But when we don't look at both, because he is both, we mix up the message. It isn't only about our personal salvation. That is part of it. But it's also about the salvation of the world. That's the other part. Now, if we only think about the salvation of the world, we might lose our own personal salvation, because then who do we think is saving the world? We are, not God. But then if we only think about our personal salvation, we lose the world. So we get this call from Jesus. He says, if we are to become his followers, we have to deny ourselves. Deny ourselves. That is not self-abasement. That is saying that everything about who I am is God's. It's not about me. It's about God. Denying yourself is not allowing yourself to have the glory, but God to have the glory for all that God has given you and can use and do through you. It's not, I got the blue ribbon. It's through the grace of God. God showed me, taught me, led me down this path so that I could do this and receive a blue ribbon. Do you hear the difference between it's not my glory but God's? It's Plank Chapel Church raised all this money for Alzheimer's North Carolina. Or it's Plank Chapel Church, because of our love of God and love of our community, because God guided and directed us, because we were focused on what God is calling us to do, raised all this money for Alzheimer's North Carolina. It's God's glory, not ours. We can mix up the message and believe it's about us when it should always be about God. That it should be both personal salvation and the salvation of the world. It has to have the depth of the vertical bar of the cross and the horizontal bar of the cross to be complete, to understand who Jesus is in our lives. But it's that cross. We can get that cross message mixed up too. The term bear, I'm bearing the cross that God gave me. What does that mean? For Jesus, take up your cross. Think about the cross that Jesus took. Jesus didn't take the cross as a personal problem in his life. He took the cross to save the world. So, having an issue with food, maybe what I could say is a cross I have to bear all my life. But that's not the cross of Christ. It is the reality of my genetic makeup, but it is not the cross that Christ has asked me to bear. I would be mixing up the message if I were to say, my cross to bear is being overweight. It wouldn't gain me anything, and it wouldn't serve God for any purpose. But I could certainly wallow in self-pity about my genetic upbringing. But if I were to say that the cross that Christ has asked me to bear is the cross of a vocation of following Jesus wherever I am called, to proclaim the message of salvation to whoever who hears it, to form youth in their relationship with Jesus Christ, to baptize those who are seeking to know Christ as their Savior, to engage a community in an understanding of who they are as disciples of Jesus Christ so that they can go out into the world and bring justice and mercy into a place that it is lacking. That is the cross I have been called to bear. It is my life's vocation to deny any of that, any of self-gain for the gain of God's glory. That if God can use me and use you, use all of us, so that this area can become once again not a pit of despair, but a place of hope and rejoicing. That Vance County schools might be the top, not the bottom, of the educational ladder. If God can do that through us, we can give God the glory rather than saying, see what God did with us? See, God, see, it's all about me. No, it's all about God. And the cross God calls us to bear, to carry, is the cross that we are given of where are you called to serve. Then he says something else. He says, what would it do? What's the price for your life? What if you gain the whole world? What was your dream home? What was your dream car? What was your dream job? What if I gave you all of that if you would just give up Jesus Christ as your Savior? Would you take it? I'm seeing the heads going, no, no, no. What if I added a maid to clean that house and a cook to cook your meals? Would you take it then? No. But what do we not give God the glory for? What do we hold on? What worldly things? How do we compromise who we are so that we can have what we want? So when do we compromise Christ for earthly glory? Or do we? My prayer is we don't. But we can see it over and over and over again as we look at the people who come into our view in life, whether they're in the entertainment industry, the political industry, the sports industry, even in our schools, our educational systems, the ones who sell their souls for 15 minutes of fame. Christ, the journey with Jesus Christ, the journey of carrying the cross that Christ gives you, of ministry in the world and however that looks, is a road that is hard and tough. Sometimes it has pits that you don't want to step into or fall into. But Christ never leaves you in the midst of the pit. You can look around here right now and see the ones who would be with you, sitting beside you, holding your hand, but also saying, hey, look, I see a step. And there's another one. And there's another one. We can get out. We can get out. It's going to take time. It's going to take therapy. It's going to take being diligent. It's going to take whatever it's going to take. But together through God and with God, whatever that journey has in store for us, we can get to the other side. But we can get that message mixed up and believe that it's us who gets us there and not God. The last place we get a little bit mixed up sometimes, and the message gets mixed up, is right here at the table of our Lord. In just a few moments, we are about to gather around this table and receive Holy Communion. For some, this moment at this altar rail, they will not come if they don't feel that they are worthy of the table. I am not worthy. I am a sinner and I haven't repented of my sin. I can't come to this place of atonement. If that were the case, no one would be at the altar rail. There is always some place in our lives, in our hearts, in our spirits, where we're not ready to say, "Here it is, Lord, I repent," including the one who stands behind the table. But that's not what this table's about. If we think that that's what this table's about, we've mixed up the message. Yes, Christ died on the cross for our sinners and calls us to this place to remember that. But in remembering, we have the opportunity to also repent. So sometimes the table is about repentance. But also, the table in our Thanksgiving liturgy, which we're about to share with one another, we talk about it as a foretaste of the heavenly banquet. It is a time to celebrate the gift that we got in Jesus Christ, to celebrate the gift of community, of being amongst his followers, but also to always remember who's not here, who is absent from our table. Because in the liturgy, we will also talk about how he fed the hungry and ate with sinners. And if we know those in our community who aren't gathered here, that the table, as inclusive as God has made it, feels exclusive and narrow, then we've mixed up that message too, because the table is for all. So, Christ, this morning, gave us some really hard words to consider. For what will it profit us to gain the whole world and forfeit our lives? Indeed, what would we give in return for our life? Let's not get the message mixed up. The one who gave his life for us is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. There is no other price. It's already been paid. Amen.